Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
A testament to his pain. Well, the word got
from WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman. And next Monday, the father of our financial system gets his own musical on Broadway.
And the world is going to know your name. What's your name, man?
Alexander Hamilton.
That is Lin-Manuel Miranda, the creator of the musical Hamilton, performing the opening number at a White House event. His show tells the story of Hamilton and the American Revolution, as well as the history of finance through rap, hip-hop, R&B, and power ballads. It adds life and color to these abstract ideals that he fought for, like a strong central government, a national bank, deficit spending. These are just some of the issues that we're still debating 200 years later, but often with a lot less pizzazz.
We're going broke. We are spending money we don't have.
Deficit reduction alone is not an economic plan.
The government is spending money like there's no tomorrow.
Well, joining me is Joanne Freeman, a history professor at Yale University and the author of the book Alexander Hamilton Writings, and Catherine Rampell, opinion columnist for The Washington Post, who often writes about the economy and who also keeps a close eye on Broadway as a former theater critic. And Joanne, let me start with you. Alexander Hamilton, singing and dancing. Why is this the hottest ticket on Broadway?
Well, partly, to be honest, just because it's good. But above and beyond that, I think, and I don't know if the other people who see this are feel the same way, but the energy of that moment and the energy of the sort of revolutionary period and the early republic and when everything is sort of being invented meshes so well with that music that it might be that some of what people are sort of reading or feeling is that the fact that those two things are so sympathetic.
Okay, so this show is called Money Talking. It's not called Broadway Chat. So what is the value in talking about Alexander Hamilton today and his influence on the financial system that we all operate under?
Well, one of the interesting insights and brilliant insights that Hamilton had was the ability of economic unity, of financial unity, to bring political unity. And this is very much a debate that's still ongoing in the United States, in Europe especially. But basically, he decided that it was important for example, the federal government to absorb states' debts after the revolution, which was like a totally controversial and bonkers idea at the time. And then, as now, there was this attitude that, like, well, Virginia paid off its debt. Why should it have to pay off the debt of other states that were more profligate, that were less responsible? And so I think that there's a layer of universality to the kinds of the debates and the kinds of insights that he was having at the time.
Plus the precise thing that you put your finger right on, which is financial unity creating national unity, that very thing was enormously controversial because there's this new government. People really at this point are still calling their state their country. For someone to sort of coast in and say, you know what, I'm going to do this thing so that the states all look to the national government, here we go. Even above and beyond the sort of specific financial dynamics, there was just the idea of it that some people – I mean, I like the word bonkers. Some people thought, you know, what? Like, really? We're going to push that far, that hard?
Yeah, and there were other elements to his thinking that, you know, were controversial at the time that are still controversial today, which is like how closely aligned should the interests of the state be with the interests of rich people in his idea to – or the idea that he promoted to create a national bank. You know, it was only partly owned, as I understand, by the government, and it was mostly owned by private investors. And the idea was that you want to tie the fate of rich people, the investors, to the fate of the national economy. You know, that you want to have those interests aligned so that they have a stake in the matter.
A lot of the things that he was proposing, and he was a very pragmatic statesman, so his idea of linking wealthy people or influential people to the government is partly born of the fact that he thinks those are the people who should be leading, and also partly born of the fact that those are the people with power and money, and if they support the government, maybe it'll survive.
And I think it's not just about financial issues too, right? This idea of what does the Constitution allow us to do, and if it's not explicitly spelled out in the Constitution. Can the federal government do that? Should it be left up to the states? You know, a couple of centuries later, we're still very much having the same discussions. You know, if the Supreme Court says that this is the law of the land,
that if gay marriage is the
law
of the land,
exactly, does that mean that a county clerk in Texas has to abide by it?
Well, what can we learn from him now?
One thing, and it's going to sound really obvious, but unfortunately, I think we've just totally lost it, and that is we should be debating. There should actually be people seriously considering each other's ideas in some way. I mean, he has a sort of rap battles, you know, of Jefferson and Hamilton.
There's a rap battle between him and Jefferson where they literally sort of insult one another through rap.
It's amazing.
It is.
I love the show.
It's amazing, but I'm also wondering, it's probably not completely accurate, but can you tell me a little bit, like, what does that represent?
So the emotion and all the anger in that, I think, is accurate. But he is voicing two different views, two fundamentally different views about what the nation should be. Hamilton's being more centralized.
Catherine, from a theatrical point of view, what did you think of the show?
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. This is no stilted period piece with powdered wigs. And, well, I mean, I guess there are wigs, but
it is in period costume.
Yes, but I mean, but it feels like it really captures the exuberance and restlessness of that period. And not just because of the music, but just because of Lin-Manuel Miranda's very energetic, very clever and tight plotting and rhyming. It's just a wonderful show.
Do you want to ask you the same question and add on that the layer of, and how accurate is it?
Well, it's pretty accurate. I mean, the things that are not accurate are very obviously about the flow of the drama. You know, Hamilton didn't have a big wedding, but gosh, if you're going to have a drama, you really
need big
weddings are useful. Yeah. So there are things like that that are not, you know, absolutely accurate. But things like that are understandable to me. I think the spirit of it and the flavor of it and the events depicted in it are accurate. And I've seen it now several times, but each time with a different historian. And what's wonderful about that is I think we all had the same response. Wait a minute. They're singing about the whiskey rebellion? Like they're singing about the bank? They're singing about this stuff. And I think all of us sort of felt like that play makes historians feel like the cool kids. Historians never feel like the cool kids.
Catherine, Joanne, thank you so much for joining.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Joanne Freeman is a professor of history and American studies at Yale University. And Catherine Rempel is an opinion columnist for The Washington Post. Hamilton was so closely connected with New York City that you can still find traces of his life here, from his home at the Grange at 141st Street in Manhattan to the site of the duel just across the river in Weehawken. We've got a link for you history buffs, economists, and musical theater fans at our website, moneytalking.org. For WNYC, I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking. I'm not throwing away my